Some people have ODD, oppositional defiance disorder. Some children have that problem. It's not my problem. What I have, brethren, I got to share it with you. It's kind of hard to confess this to you. But I have OFTGS. You might want to keep me in your prayers. OFTGS. Obnoxious first-time grandfather syndrome. For the last 14 months or so, I've been telling anybody who cares to listen that I have the greatest grandchild the world has ever known. And her name is Mary Elizabeth Bartlett. For you doubters out there, I've got a few pictures as just one line of proof. Here she is, Mary Elizabeth. That's right, that's right. She's as cute as can be. That was her in her first Bible class. She was just styling by the seashore, you know. Here she was getting ready to get her free meal at Chick-fil-A. And this was Thursday. This was Thursday in California at the pumpkin patch. Just a sweet little girl. Just love her to death. Take your Bibles and turn over to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. All kidding aside, it's really good for all of us to spend time with children. Our Lord, I think, taught us that very clearly in Matthew 18, verse 1. Matthew 18, let's read verses 1 through 4. That'll be the basis for our lesson this morning. Matthew 18. It says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, truly I say to you, unless you are converted to become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I think what Jesus is teaching us in this passage is that we can learn a lot from Marys and children like her. You know, you've often heard you better grow up and start acting like an adult. It's kind of interesting. Jesus in this particular passage turns that counsel on its head and says you better grow down and start acting like a child. Now, it's important for us to understand that when Jesus says, become like children, he's not telling us to become like children in every possible way. If you want to now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20, these will be the verses we'll look at this morning. Let me do something right here. 1 Corinthians to be like children in all ways. Says there, brethren, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature. So, in a lesson like this, God's not telling us to imitate children in every way, but there are some important ways that we should become like children, and that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. And specifically, I want to talk about 8 ways that Christians need to be childlike. First of all, we need to be childlike in our humility. We need to be childlike in our humility. Matthew 18:4, if you're there still, if not, go back. Matthew chapter 18, verse 4, what does it say? It says, whoever then humbles himself as a child. Children are humble. And we need to be like them in that regard. Let me illustrate it some ways. You know what? Kids know they can't make it without help. I mean, why do children cry out to their parents? Well, because they need their parents. They have things that they cannot provide for themselves. They have to live by faith or trust that their parents will be there for them to supply what they cannot supply for themselves. That never stops. It never stops. No matter how old we get, we constantly have to live by faith. But somewhere along the line, we get old and we quit crying out to our Heavenly Father. Thinking, you know what, I can do it myself. And you know what, we can't do anything without our Heavenly Father any more than Mary can do without her earthly parents. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 12. Here's a good example of a person who lost this childlike quality and failed to realize that he's dependent upon God for everything. Talking about King Asa here, when he became sick in his old age. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 12 says, in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became what? Diseased in his feet. His disease was severe, yet even in his disease he did not seek the Lord but the physicians. If Mary's feet hurt, she would be crying out for her mom or her dad. Really for her mom. Boy, I tell you what, there's a child that's attached to her mama. If she hurts, she cries out for mom because she knows she needs mom. Mom will make things better. We always need our Heavenly Father for everything, and we need to cry out to Him in a childlike way because we can never, ever do without Him. Another way children illustrate their humility is that they know they don't know it all. Mary's starting to talk, and it's really cool. I look forward to the time when she'll start saying, well, Pops, why this? Or Pops, why that? And why are children like that? Well, because they know they don't know it all. And they want to know it. And they know they need somebody who will teach them. But what happens? Well, somewhere around the teenage years, we flip that switch off, and many of us never fully turn it back on. Look at Mark chapter 10 and verse 15. Mark chapter 10 and verse 15. Children are humble. They know how little they know. We need to be like them. Truly I say to you, Mark chapter 10 and verse 15, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all. And I think the idea there is to receive the rule of God, the law of God, the leadership of God. Become a disciple is the idea. And we need to become it as a child. When God speaks, we need to accept it as gospel because it is. And that's the way Mary is with her parents. When they say something, she just takes it for fact. We need to be humble like children. They know they don't know it all. We need to be like them. We don't know it all. God does. Another way children illustrate their humility is because they clearly don't think they're better than other people. You know, back in slave days, you would have slave women raising their master's children. And the master's children would play with the slave, the one who was raising them, their children. And when they're this age, is there any arrogance, any prejudice? Absolutely not. That's something that you have to be taught, that you got to get old enough to learn. And frankly, in regards to some of this aspect of our lives as adults, that's something we desperately need to unlearn. Look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 16. Children are humble because they know they're not better than anybody else. The thought doesn't even cross their mind, but it crosses our mind in so many ways on so many different levels. And God says, knock that off. Be a child in this regard. Romans chapter 12 and verse 16, it says, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. So what we're talking about this morning is our need to become like children. There are some childlike qualities that we lose as we get old. One of those childlike qualities is humility. Like I said, Jesus knew that it's good for us to spend time with children like Mary because they teach us to remember some things that we still need to have, though we've lost them through the course of the years. Second thing we can learn from kids is attractiveness. Attractiveness. Now, babies are cute. I mean, undoubtedly, Mary, she's a doll. That's not what I mean when I'm talking here about attractiveness. Don't you just love making eye contact with kids? Don't you just love it? Why? Well, first of all, they look back at you. We were in California last week, and it's amazing. I guess it's maybe a cultural thing in some of the Asian cultures. But you know, here you are, a Southern boy walking down the streets of, you know, Bay Area, California, USA, and, you know, walking down the street and try, you know, it's kind of like you want to look at me. And they just don't do it. But kids are not like that. Kids will just stare a hole in you. Mary loves to go out and be in public because she just loves to people watch. And so they look back at you, but they don't look back at you with eyes of condescension. They look back at you with joy and acceptance in a way that's winsome. What we tend to do is lose those qualities as we get older, don't we? And we should not. Turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Very powerful passage. Rich, rich passage. It says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. What I want to emphasize for just a minute is this word lovely. Now, this is lovely not in the sense of beautiful, but rather lovely in the sense of calling forth and exacting love and affection. The Greek word literally means to the advantage of love. And Barclay says that it might be paraphrased as that which calls forth love. It says, there are those whose minds are so set on vengeance and punishment that they call forth bitterness and fear in others. There are those whose minds are so set on criticism and rebuke that they call forth resentment in others. But the mind of the Christian is to be set on lovely things, kindness, sympathy, forbearance. So he is a winsome person whom to see is to love. When you see a child, you can't help but just be attracted because they are lovely. They bring that out of you by the way they behave. And brethren, we lose that. We need to be the kind of people that, just like Barclay says, to know us is to love us. So much that we can learn from kids. Another lesson is priorities. Priorities. Let's illustrate that we need to have some of the priorities that kids have in a couple of ways. First of all, kids keep life simple, don't they? I mean, Mary, what is she concerned about? Well, she's concerned about things like eating and sleeping. You know, the basics of life. And she's not materialistic. Children care if they're cold, but they don't care about who made the clothes that keep them warm. Nor do they care about how many other clothes they have in the closet that would keep them equally warm. As children of God, we need to have this childlike quality of keeping life simple. All we need to do is just add to the fundamentals of physical life, the fundamentals of spiritual life. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Keep it simple. Apparently, there is a movement going on. You can see television shows and the like about these things, about how people are just trying to get back to the very basics. They've decided that if you have so much stuff that you can't fill one house with it, but you have to have two or three or four or five different storage units, maybe enough is enough. Well, maybe we've got too much stuff. We just need to keep life simple. And I think there's a lot to be said about that. When it comes to the physical things of life, keep it simple. When it comes to the things of spiritual life, focus on the basics. 1 Peter 2 and 2 says, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Mary cares about food and she cares about sleeping and things like that. And when it comes to our spiritual life, what we need to be concentrating on is things like reading our Bible, praying to God, assembling with the saints. Focus on the fundamentals. You know, so often when people come, and I'm sure Brother Blacker can relate to this too, so many times when people come to you spiritually struggling, you ask them, well, what's your prayer life like? Well, I don't do it very much. How often do you read your scriptures? None. We've lost sight of the basics, the fundamentals. And we need to learn that from children, to keep things simple. Keep things simple. Another thing that we can do is to keep material things in their proper place. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Tammy and I flew Frontier out to California. And are there any stockholders in Frontier Airlines here this morning? Wasn't my favorite airline to ever fly. Let's just put it that way. And basically, I mean, if you carry on a normal carry-on bag, you get charged for that. So basically, if you don't want to get charged for what you take with you, you've got a backpack, and that's about it. So So we were going to be out there from Tuesday through Saturday, so we decided that we were going to just keep it simple and pack everything we could pack in a backpack. And it was, it was kind of cool. You know, just keep it simple. You know, we get so wrapped up in things. Life is not about things. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6 says that godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. We have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. Does Mary have this problem? No. Why do we? Well, because we've forgotten what kids teach us. We forgot what was really important when we were young. We bought into Satan's lies, and now we think things that are so important that aren't at all. Another thing about the priorities of kids is that they live in the moment. Mary does not spend a lot of time brooding over the mistake she made 2 days ago. Doesn't cross her mind. Mary does not worry and fret about the electric bill that's due 2 days from now. It doesn't cross her mind. With kids, it's all about right now. And if they have what they need for the fundamentals of physical life, they're content and life is good. And brethren, living in the moment is a childlike quality that most of us definitely need to regain. The Bible tells us over and over again, put the past behind you, learn from it and move on. Don't worry about the future. Focus on today. Several passages. Look at Ecclesiastes 5, verse 18. Here you had this great experiment by Solomon, who had all the money to do anything he wanted to do. And what did he say was part of the secret of happiness in life? It was enjoying each and every day that God gives you. As we'll talk about tonight, we'll talk about in our sermon here in just a few moments. We especially need to do that because we don't know if we have a tomorrow. The preacher said the following, Ecclesiastes 5:18. Here's what I have seen to be good and fitting. To eat, to drink, to enjoy oneself and all one's labor in which he toils under the sun during the few years of life which God has given him. For this is his reward. It's not the accumulation of things for which you labor, it is the enjoyment of your labor. Furthermore, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, he has also empowered him to eat from them and to receive his reward and rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. We get so wrapped up in things and the maintenance of things that we don't enjoy life. We don't need to be that way. Just live every day fully in a day-tight compartment. Don't brood about the past. Don't worry about the future. Make the most of this day. For then it says in verse 20, you will not consider the years of your life because God keeps him occupied with the gladness of his heart. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34, in that great passage in the Sermon on the Mount where God teaches us about anxiety, he says what? Here's our Lord. He says, be like a child. Mary doesn't spend a moment wondering about 2 days ago or wondering about 2 days from now. She lives in the moment. You know, it is wonderful to wake her up because, man, it's like she wakes up with a smile. It's another day. Hi! Hi! Boy, she gets after it. It's cool. So do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Finally, Psalm 131, verse 1. I love this passage. If we could just learn to be a childlike, have the childlike quality of humility and trust our Heavenly Father and focus on today, we'd be so much happier than we are. We'd be so much more like Mary than we are. I love this passage, Psalm 131, verse 1. O Lord, my heart is not proud, you see, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. Notice this. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul like a weaned child rests against his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me. Isn't that something that you long for? Isn't that that peace of God that surpasses all understanding? Don't you just want to be at rest in the arms of Jesus? We can be. If we'll just trust Him and live one day at a time. What else can we learn from kids? I like this one. Wonder and appreciation. Wonder and appreciation. Kids are just full of it. Now I need to prepare you for this, okay? Everybody ready? I'm about to show you one of the coolest things you've ever seen, and I don't want to startle you. You got a heart condition or something like that, kind of get a grip for just a second. Ready? I'll show you one of the coolest things you'll ever see in your life. You ready? Here it is! I got a hand right there. I got a hand. Watch this. You think that's cool? Watch this. I can move my fingers. I can think, move fingers, and they move. That is cool. And if you don't think it's cool, ask Mary. I mean, she's got fingers. She can move them. She can put them in her mouth. If she discovers your fingers, she can put them in her mouth too. She can grab things. She's got feet. She's standing up and she's walking. It's so cool. I mean, she was tottering pretty much when we got there. By the end of the week, she was just going full bore. There are just things that God gives us that are blessings beyond our imagination. And yet how quickly we start to take them for granted. We need to get over that. We need to get over that. Look at Psalm 139 and verse 14. God is amazing. His creation is amazing. We need to be amazed as a created being in the universe that God Himself has created. Psalm 139, verse 14. It says, I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Brethren, God is good. Like the song says, we need to stand in awe of Him. He richly blesses us abundantly, and we take it so quickly for granted. When we were marriage age, you know, being able to do that was one of the coolest things you can imagine. And now we don't even think about it at all. And I've developed this, I've got some kind of neurological thing going on. This hand, I can do that. See how I do that rhythmically? I can do that. I can't really do that with this hand anymore. Don't take that for granted because you might not have it tomorrow. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God is awesome. Mary knows it. We must not forget it. Another thing about kids that is just so cool is their determination. Their determination. Let me illustrate that a couple of ways. First of all, they don't stop trying until they get from others what they need. If there's something you have that they can't do for themselves, they're going to persist until you do for them what they need done. Look at Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Mary's still nursing a little bit. And while she's not as enthusiastic about mama's milk as she once was, you know, when she was a little bit littler and that was her food source. When she was hungry and she wanted mama's milk, she did not stop until she got it. And we need to be like that in regards to the things that only our Heavenly Father can provide us. We need to be determined to pursue them from Him until He provides what we need. Look at Luke 18 and verse 1. It says, Now He was telling them a parable to show them at all times that they ought to pray and not lose heart. It says, In a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, Give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterwards he said to himself, Even though I do not fear God or nor respect man, yet because This widow bothers me. I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming out, she will wear me out. See, kids are like that. You know, if they persist in what they need until they get it. We need to be like that in regards to getting from God what He alone can provide us. And it's not that He's unwilling to supply it. It's just that we need to understand that we need it from Him. And that He alone is the source of such blessings. So the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for His elect who cry out to Him day and night? And will He delay long over them? I tell you, He will bring about justice for them quickly. We need to be determined in regards to getting from God what He alone can directly supply. And I would suggest to you another way that children illustrate determination is that they don't stop trying until they do for themselves what they alone can do for themselves. You know, it's just fascinating to watch a little child as they start to get mobile. What do they first do? It's kind of like the marine crawl. Then they start crawling on all fours. And pretty soon they start pulling themselves up. Then they start taking those first tentative steps. And it's pretty cool because it's not long until they are running. You see? Nobody can walk for you. That's something you got to do for yourself. And God's given us everything we need to run. And children, teach us. Don't stop until you do what God says you alone must do. We need to learn that. We don't need to learn it from children. What we need to do is remember it from children. We need to remember it from children. Look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Why do we not accomplish more than we do? Well, because we don't reach out in dependence to God more than we do. And because we simply say, you know what? I can't do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When in fact we can. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Brethren, we need to be determined that we're going to get from God what God wants us to supply if we'll just recognize our dependence in Him. And we must be determined to do those things that God insists that we do for ourselves. And always remember, when God is insisting that we do something for ourselves, it's not that we're doing Him any favors, it's always that He's doing us a favor by insisting that we stretch and grow and develop and become all that we can be in Him. We need to be determined. Along those same lines, another aspect of childlikeness that we need to have is zeal. When it comes to kids, they're not half-hearted about hardly anything. They just don't do half-hearted things. Look at Matthew 21 and 14. Mary wakes up in the morning. Hi, everybody. This is a cool day. When she's hungry, I'm hungry and I want food now. When she does not want to go to sleep, I'm not going to go to sleep right now. You think I'm going to go to sleep? You're not going to make me go to sleep. I mean, they're on fire. They're zealous. And we need to live life with passion, not with half-heartedness. We need to remember that childlike quality. I love this passage, Matthew 21:14. It says, and the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple, and He healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that He had done and the children who were shouting in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they became indignant. Notice what the children were doing. They were shouting in the temple. And they said to Him, do you hear what these children are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes, have you never read? Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies you have prepared praise for yourself. One of the things that I used to be involved in the Arkansas camp that's in Searcy. One of the things that I dearly loved about that and dearly miss about that is being the song leader for camp. That was my job. And I'll tell you what, man, I have no idea how y'all sound singing-wise, but I promise you if I take the same number of campers, they'll sing you out, they'll show you up. I mean, it is awesome to lead young children, teenagers, in song. When I was in Oklahoma, in Tulsa this summer. My job was to introduce some new songs to them. They had a youth lectureship there. And I said to them, I said, well, this song is a really cool song. Not hardly anyone's heard it. I'm just sorry we don't have more chance to sing it, because you'd really like it if you got to know it well. So we sang it once, and I thought, let's try it one more time. And I tell y'all, you could have recorded it the second time, and it would have been sufficient quality to share it with others. Kids get fired up about life, and we need to stay that way. We need to stay that way. Whatever you do, do it with what you got. Not with half your heart, but hold your whole heart. When it comes to loving your Father, love Him with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And with the same enthusiasm, love your neighbor as yourself. Two more things. We need to be dedicated to growth like kids are. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Mary lives in California. We live in Searcy. That's not good. We don't get to see her, but for every 2 or 3 or 4 months, something like that. And the change between times we see her is just amazing. Why? Because they are growing and they are developing. Now, I understand that physically, you know, that stops at a certain point. But spiritually, it should never stop, ever. You know, if people haven't seen us for 4 or 5 months, they should be able to, after spending some time with us, they should be saying, man, he's changed, he's grown, he's developing in the Lord. 1 Peter 2 and 2, it says, as newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Brethren, we need to be growing and changing and developing like children do, spiritually, not physically. Honestly, ask yourself, can I look back at myself as I was a year ago and say, spiritually, I'm much different now than I was then, because I am a stronger, more effective servant of Jesus Christ. That's a childlike quality that we must never, ever, ever, ever lose. And if we ever think we've grown all that we need to grow, we've got it absolutely wrong. So be committed to growth. And finally, we need to be committed to purity. To purity. One of the things that's just wonderful about little children is their innocence. Their freedom from guile. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 20 again. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 20. We use this passage to teach us how we're not supposed to be like children in every way. But there are some ways we do need to be like children. And this passage lists one of those ways. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20 says, brethren, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature. As children of God, our aim, our goal is to be as pure as a child. See, Jesus uses little children to say, that's how pure we ought to be, which tells us this idea of children being inherently depraved, born with the consequences of the parents' sins. It's just false. It's just false. We need to be pure like children. One thought that struck me a while back that I've never forgotten. About Jesus when he was on that cross. We need to appreciate that when Jesus hung on that cross, he was just as pure then as he was when he was in that manger. Brethren, Christ is the standard of purity. I think a lot of times we feel really good about ourselves because compared to what a lot of worldly people do, we're much purer than they. That's not important. When we compare ourselves with ourselves, we are foolish. Just because, relatively speaking, I don't have as much filth in my life as somebody else does not mean that I don't have filth in my life that I need to be eradicating from it. We must remember that the standard of purity is Jesus Christ, who was as pure on the cross as he was in the cradle. And I think that if we have that childlike quality and we really understand what it requires, we will be growing and changing and developing, because there's so many things that we are now a part of because we've allowed ourselves to be blinded and influenced by the world instead of us standing apart from it. We're talking back home. Our Sunday morning Bible class, we've combined the adults and the college kids and the teenagers, the high school group, and we're talking about sexual immorality. And really, that's been inspired by several, you know, we've had two or three members come to us confessing problems with pornography. And I know that there are people that are talking to me right, listening to me right now, that are troubled by that. And in the course of that discussion, you know, I'm old enough now to understand that there are things now that Christians watch and they recommend to others that 40 years ago would not have been tolerated in any Christian context whatsoever. And that tells us that what we are doing is what we were warned about in Hebrews chapter 2, and what Brother J.D. Tant used to constantly say in his Gospel Advocate articles, which is what? We are drifting. We don't need to drift in the wrong direction. We need to be childlike in purity. We need to be like Jesus in purity. And I don't know about you, but I know for myself that I still have a long way to go in that regard. So isn't it wonderful to learn things from children? Not only is it great for us to be with children, but it's wonderful to us because we can learn so much from them. There is a circle of life. There's a circle of life. As a child ages, he physically moves forward into adulthood. And as I'm now just beginning to start to understand, as an adult ages, he physically moves backwards into childhood. What Jesus wants us to learn, brethren, is that when it comes to this circle of life, in many ways the spiritual reflects the physical. That we who are older can and must learn a lot about how to live from Mary and children like her. That, as one person put it, wisdom leads us back to childhood. Brethren, there are some aspects of childhood that we should never have ever left behind. And if we've done that, we definitely need to grow down and start behaving like a child. This is me holding Mary yesterday. Less than 24 hours ago, I was in Sunnyvale, California, with that little girl. Ah, she's just cool. She teaches me a lot. About 20 some odd years ago, that child's mother was in my arms. Had a lot more hair then. It was a whole lot darker. Some 20 odd years ago, I was the one that other people held. You know, there's a lot of ways that Tim Norman had a lot more going for him than this one does. And I need to remember what he was and get back to being like him. Let's all do that, brethren. Let's become like children. Thank you all very much.